Welcome back to another episode of the Knock On Podcast, brought to you by our good friends at Zero Tackle. Dan, you and I were just talking off air that normally we will record on a Tuesday night, and last night family stuff got in the way. Over the weekend family stuff got in the way. I'm so glad that we are here at 9 o'clock at night on a Wednesday to bring all the news, because it's just dropped today. And now, before we get into this, I really have to apologize if you can hear my greyhound is having a tantrum. He's the world's biggest greyhound, and he's obsessed with squeaky toys, and I took it away from him, so he's having
a completely
night.
Fair. Look, it is a Wednesday.
I do apologize. But what's happening in the world of rugby league? Don't worry about what's happening in my lounge room. What's happening in the world of rugby league?
Everything's happening in the world of rugby league. Last night, as you mentioned, we said we had a few comments, topics to discuss, and we said, something will happen tomorrow. And boy, did it. We're going to start with the big one, of course. James Fisher-Harris is off to the Warriors. 4-year deal, passionately released at the end of the year, I believe. That came out of nowhere.
I know, and this is the thing, like, the rumour mongers, the, you know, your Telegraph journos, your Fox Sports journos, your Twitter trolls, everything like that, couldn't even make this up. Like, no one knew anything about it whatsoever. It's sort of like, it reminded me of the AFB news that sort of, it just came out of nowhere, although we knew he was on the move. But this was just like, I was driving home and my phone blew up and I was like, oh, what have I tweeted that I don't remember tweeting? Or have I like sent a tweet of my butt or something like that out that, you know, because my phone was in my pocket. What's going on here? And then it's just James Fisher-Harris has gone, New Zealand Warriors. Now, this is great for them because it was looking a little bit bleak. You don't know how many years of Sean Johnson you're going to get left, and Adam Fanua Blake had left or has left the club at the end of the year, and you're kind of thinking, is this it? Is this the only... I don't know. He gives them... He's keeping the window open with that signing there. Really good player. Really, really good player. Top five prop in the game, no doubt. Whichever order you have the top five props in, James Fisher-Harris is in there. Tremendous from New Zealand. To get
recruitment. They handled it extremely well. Evidently, he asked for a release last week, and the Panthers obviously said yes, so he wouldn't have been able to discuss with the Warriors. They got it signed, and he's going to go across. As you said, he keeps the premiership window open because Adam Fanua-Blake is a monstrous loss, figuratively and literally. He's a huge out. And to bring Fisher-Harris in, you know, on X, formerly Twitter, today, there was people jump straight in. Is he as good as Adam Fanua-Blake? It's probably the closest thing you can find that isn't Joseph Tarpany. And I love the fact that he, like Tarpany, is from New Zealand. Gold Boot winner, representing New Zealand last year. Absolutely tremendous person, tremendous player, great character, great leader. It's a brilliant signing. Congrats to the Warriors for doing this so quickly. Look, it's not often that you'll find me praising Penrith, but they didn't stand in his way. They didn't say, hey, yeah, but what are the Warriors going to do for us? It makes me think they've got a plan B, and it's come out pretty quickly that they're linked to Utukumanu. I don't know how strong that is or whether that's just people jumping to easy conclusions.
Oh, look, I love the fact that no one knew that James Fisher-Harris last week had asked for a release. No one knew this week that he was going to get released, but all of a sudden they know Penrith are in negotiations with Stefano Utukumanu.
I think they've got a plan, but if not, say worst comes to worst, and everyone says no, go away, and they cannot sign anyone,
they can have Royce Hunt
and Oregon Kafusi, we'll throw in Dafanugan for free, but they can just dip into their New South Wales Cup team, or their flag team, or their ST Ball team, and just promote everyone up. They're not going to be worried. This is brilliant for rugby league. Oh, it was, as you said, it's not often they catch us off guard, Terry. I, for one, am happy for all the parties involved, especially Cronulla, because we started the Penrith downfall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Speaking of the downfall, an unfortunate one, potentially self-inflicted, Josh Schuster has been told by Manly to look elsewhere. They've obviously got buyer's remorse on his ridiculous, let's call it spade a spade, 800K reportedly deal. All the clubs have said thanks, but no thanks, leaving Schuster pretty much left out. If you're a struggling club with a little bit of money in the cap, because there's a talk, Schuster's going to get a see you later, he'd be free to discuss. the NRL have got to look and say there's no way he's actually worth 800K. Would you be taking a punt on the young man who's got a huge chip right now on his shoulder?
Let's go. Let's have a look at this both ways, because you've had some people come out and say we've contacted every NRL club and no one's involved in Josh Schuster, and then you've had his agent turn around and come out and say there's four or five clubs in Sydney and there's a couple of clubs elsewhere that are looking at Josh Schuster. I think all 16 clubs turned around and said thanks but no thanks if they either had to pick up a large chunk or take on full freight. However, if this is a clean slate on Josh Schuster, I think there's about six clubs that could do with him, right? And the style of play that he has, the type of player that he is, he would slot into multiple teams. And you're going to get a guy who's going to start off in reserve grade and work his way up, right? And if you're saying, like, you know, because I put my thinking hat on here. If I was the CEO of the pick a team, I'm having a look around here. If I was the CEO of the Parramatta Eels and they said, hey, Josh Schuster's available for 800 grand, are you interested? Well, the answer is no. Hey, Josh Schuster's available for 300 grand, are you interested? I'm kind of thinking Mitch Moses went down and we didn't really have anyone coming. You know, there's Blaze Talangi's really young. We, you know, Ethan Sanders is off to Canberra and Dayan Arce is really inconsistent. So maybe having that person who can slot in there but also give you utility flavour, play the same role that Bryce Cartwright can play if he's injured at one point in time, I think it works. I look at our side, Cronulla, and I think the same thing. If it's $800,000, I'm not interested. If it's between $200,000 and $300,000, maybe. Maybe I'm interested, you know? We've seen ball-playing back rowers at Cronulla thrive. Greg Bird, Wade Graham, Luke Lewis, for example. It's just the style of footy that they play. And another guy who can slot into the halves if Nicho Hynes is injured, if he's on origin duty. I'm not saying I want him. I'm just saying that at the right price, there is a value to Josh Schuster. And I think there's like four or five other clubs before you get to the upper echelon of the ladder that could use a player or take a punt on him. We've seen Canterbury signed ridiculous players with less talent on money. He would be a perfect pickup for them. A club like the Titans, anything would be good for them. The Dragons, maybe. The Knights, maybe. Canberra. Like, the minute they said he was available, I was like, he sort of makes a lot of sense for Canberra on the bench.
I linked him what straight away think? With Canberra. I think he's a victim of this ridiculous contract. And I won't say through no fault of his own, because he's here because he hasn't lived up to what he signed. But no one in the rugby league world looked at that contract and thought, oh, geez, that's a bargain. They looked and thought, he's a kid who's had some good games, shown some undoubted potential, but a bloke who, you know, with the greatest respect, isn't worth probably half 800K. I'll put him around the 4 to 450 at the top end. If he were to put himself out there at 250 and say, look, someone take a punt on me, I'm ready to go. He's got tremendous upside. His best games are very, very good. Unfortunately, his low games are downright terrible, which has seen him play for Blacktown. And obviously, you know, it's led to the situation we're discussing here. He could very well end up in England. He could go over there and he'll tear up in England. Do not get me wrong. He will be too good for the Super League. We've seen 32-year-old, 34-year-old Brett Hodgson go over and win a Man of Steel. We saw Blake Austin. You know, Bevan French was a fringe reserve grader. Best player.
Blake Green was a champion.
I think that he could go over there and tear up for 2 years and come back a la Aiden Caesar. Or he can say, hey, Newtown, give me a deal. I'm keen. And Newtown say, of course, we're getting a rep quality player for peanuts. He goes on and tears up. There's five or six clubs going, oi, we got a spot in June 30. You know, it's coming up quick. How about you jump across here? And Newtown are going to say, well, obviously we can't keep you. I think he's got to back himself here and say, all right, I'm out. Whether it be now or at the end of the year, go get a minimum deal somewhere and just blow everyone away and he'll be back on big money sooner than later.
If Manly do want him, though, if Manly do want him but they don't want him on that contract, well, one, that's their fault, right? But just renegotiate it. Because if he doesn't want to leave Manly and Manly don't want him to leave, they just don't like that, just renegotiate. Just turn around and say, you know what? We made a huge blunder offering that deal. You didn't really make the blunder signing it because $800,000 in front of a 20-year-old. Everyone's going to sign that. We made a blunder. You're not happy because you're not playing. Let's get yourself on that deal. Let's put the performance incentives about it. And when you're 24, maybe we can see if you're worth 800 grand.
Exactly right. I like it. Solved another problem. Problem solved. South Sydney lost on the weekend, yet their coach survived. Supposedly, we'll talk about that more later. They brought in David Ferner to fix all the problems. I hate it. I absolutely hate it. What's the point of this?
I understand South Sydney's thinking, right? And let me just play it out to you why I understand South Sydney's thinking. They just got beaten by Cronulla on the weekend in a game where they were never in it and Cronulla never really got out of second gear. They have a bye this weekend, and then I'm pretty sure they're playing Penrith and Brisbane or Penrith and Melbourne. Two games that they're not going to win. Probably don't want a new coach to come in and get a smacking, right? Also as well, it was reported that they had agreed terms with Mal Meninga for the remainder of the year, and the Kangaroos turned and said, hang on a minute, we don't agree to this. If you're going to go and coach South City, you have to resign. You have to step down. And Mal turned and said, you know what? I've got the cushiest job, $500,000 to coach two or three games a year. Brother, South Sydney, you guys are on your own. So they're looking at other things as well. Now, David Ferner has come on as their defensive coach. And it's not too bad of a name until you think that David Ferner was the defensive coach of the Canterbury Bulldogs for about 3 years where they were the worst defensive team in the competition. And South Sydney are currently the worst defensive team in the competition. I think South Sydney are looking at themselves now going, we probably shouldn't have told Sam Burgess to go do one. We probably should have listened to Sam when he said there was too much player power at the club. And if anyone was going to know that there was player power at South Sydney, it was Sam Burgess, who was the initial player of the early 2010s to have all the player power. It's a Hail Mary. I am going to say that in 3 or 4 weeks' time, Demetrio is sacked when they have an easier run and a new coach comes in and they get that new coach kick, because you ain't going to get that playing Penrith and Melbourne and Brisbane in the horror draw that they have. I'll just quickly bring that up, actually, while we're talking about it, because it's apparently a real disgusting draw for them. They've had
their relatively easy start and they sit, 1-5?
So they've got the bye, then they're away to Melbourne, then they're at home to Penrith, and then they're away to St. George. I'm going to say that they will have a new coach in that game away to St. George.
I think that's the easy conclusion to draw. Ferner, if I was a South fan, I'd be like, oh, yippee. I know he was at South when they were attacking. He was their attacking coach, et cetera, et cetera. A mate of mine passed on that he was the West Tigers defensive coach last year, which to me says...
Oh, David Ferner was the defensive coach last year of the Tigers.
And we all know that, and it did a wooden spoon. I think this is anybody but Demetrio. As soon as we get him in, we get him ingrained, he'll be the coach before too soon. 100% they should have held on to Sam Burgess. They should have listened. They should have put him in charge when they had the chance. John Morris has obviously left for the Tigers, so they can't put him in for the rest of the year. It's becoming very, very obvious that Demetrio is not their man. I thought they were going to let him go this week. It's only that they were so brave in such horror circumstances that if they'd sacked Demetrio, everyone would have gone, come on.
Let me just say this now. I've had a look on his Wikipedia. Last year, David Ferner was, in fact, the defensive coach of the West Tigers, who were not the worst defensive team out of all 17 teams in the competition. They were the second worst defensive team in the competition last year. The worst defensive team was the Canterbury Bulldogs. The team he was employed at beforehand, where he had made all the defensive structures.
This doesn't fill me with great confidence as a rugby league fan. I think it's let's get him in and get him coaching, and then at the end of the year we'll get a real coach. It's a mess.
It is. All I can say is that at the moment I have bragging rights in my household. Long may it continue.
Now, sticking with South Sydney, but we're going to be positive for once. And they don't really deserve it because they've been pretty dire this season. But young Jai Gray had a pretty handy debut this past weekend against our Cronulla Sharks. More than held his own in a very, very difficult circumstance. There's talk that if he plays well for the next 2 weeks, Latrell Mitchell might be shifting to centre. I think that's a very public way of saying, oi, Trell, when you come back, you're playing centre.
Yeah, I think there's also the opportunity for this guy to show, if he can show a little bit of ball playing, that he may be an option in the halves instead of Dean Hawkins. However, I look, don't get me wrong, Jai Gray was really good. He's really small, though. He is, like, incredibly small. And I think Cronulla, although comfortably won the game, didn't really challenge him enough in the air. Like, there should have been a lot more traffic going his way. And I think because Cronulla lost their early challenge on the disruptor rule that no one knows anything about because it's an opinion-based rule, I think they would have sent more traffic to him. I like the idea of shifting Latrell to fullback, from fullback to centre, where he is one of the classiest centres that we have seen. And I think Jai Gray, him in the centres, and I think you've got to move Jack Whiten into the halves because although he's been really good in the centres, he's been stifled of limited ball, and you need his kicking game as well. Jack Whiten's got a really good long kicking game. Now, he may kick the ball out on the full once a game, but he can kick the absolute hell out of the ball. And if there's one thing that Souths can't do is kick themselves out of trouble at the moment. I know you lose a lot of organisation if you've got Jack Whiten and Cody Walker in the halves, but you got to try something because what they're doing at the moment, it just ain't working.
There's just no size in that team and too many teams are running over young Hawkins, which I'm not having to go. He's playing above where he probably should be at this stage, to be honest, with what happened with Ilias. I think Gray's done enough to get the next 2 weeks, even if he has something this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely.
Back, he'll get the next two, rather, after their bye, of course. I just think you got to get Latrell out of fullback. You need your best players putting in, and he's just not at fullback. Maybe it's a lack of effort, maybe it's not, maybe his body's just not up to it, but if he's going to have 15 good touches compared to 30 touches, I'm taking the 15 good. We saw last week, you know, Joe Manu, who's a centre turned fullback, ran for, 340 metres? I think they ended up on that 70. They took 30 off him for some reason. I don't know, I don't particularly care. And then Latrell Mitchell the week before ran for, 80. Like, Mitchell is a more imposing figure than Manu, but he ran for almost, 240, 250 metres, depending on which one you go with, less than him. It screams. You got to move him back to the centres. And, of course, Whiten's got to give him the halves. We said it in the preseason. He'll be the 5'8 before round 5 or 6. They've held on. They've dug in their heels. I think they've got to make the obvious moves. I don't see him winning the next two games, no matter who they run out. But after that, for the sake of next season, because this year's gone, next season, they have to start winning games. Or the South Sydney Aura is going to go. And they're going to go, hey, you want to play for South? And they'll be like, you guys are terrible. You don't have a good coach. You had 12,000 fans turn up when times were bad. They need to turn the perception of the club around and get back to being South Sydney. Sticking with the coaches theme, Terry, my second favourite team, the Gold Coast Titans, came this close to a win on the weekend, and it was driven on when AJ Brimson went to his preferred position of fullback. So what has the great Des Hasler done this week? He said, Philip Sami, go play fullback. Is he begging to be sacked?
I mean, he's probably gone up to the Gold Coast and just gone, yeah, this ain't for me. They've signed me on a ridiculous contract. If they sack me, they've got to pay me out. I kind of agree with Des, though, in not putting him at fullback. He had to stick him at fullback during the game because they lost Jaden Campbell. But there's... Des Hasler's either got to look at it and go, I've got Philip Sami at fullback and AJ Brimson in the halves where he can get some quality ball. I've got AJ Brimson at fullback and I've got Tanner Boyd in the halves, and that probably nullifies AJ Brimson. So, look, Phil Sami, he's big, he's strong, he's powerful and he's fast. AJ Brimson is fast, he's skillful and he's a ball player. You've just got to get his hands, and you know, if he's got to go and play second receiver or whatever, get Philip Sami into first receiver. He can shovel the ball to Kieran Foran, and Kieran Foran can throw it out the back to AJ Brimson. Whatever to make it work. I personally don't care that the Gold Coast Titans are losing games. I really enjoy it because I get to send you a text message every week saying, well, what did Brimson do? And the answer so far this year is nothing.
Except then. Last week where he was the best player for the Titans.
Nothing.
An absolute mile. He broke the game open. He got him back into the game. And then he made the break up the middle that should have had the game on a platter, but Kieran Foran couldn't kick the ball 20 metres over a player rushing on. Onside or offside, I do not care. Stand deep. You kick that in your sleep. I don't know what Des Hazler's doing. I think he said, look, this season, it ain't going to be our season. Let's just get through. He's tried yelling at him in that clip that went super viral. That didn't work. He's moved for feeder.
Well, that clip was also fake. Yes,
but let's pretend like it was real because it was hilarious. He's moved for feeder. Didn't work. He seems hell-bent on ruining AJ Brimson's career. If Brimson wants to leave, I'd back him. I'll sign a petition.
The Gold Coast Titans have ruined AJ Brimson. Don't every single coach, and this is the thing with AJ Brimson, every single coach has not known where to play him. Now, it seems pretty obvious to put him at fullback. But then they're worried about losing Jaden Campbell. Who is the better player? That's what you got to ask yourself. Who is the better player? If it's AJ Brimson, find another spot for Campbell. If it's Campbell, you got to find another spot for Brimson. But no one can work out what's going on. That club is a mess. That club is an absolute... like, they are the one club that don't know how to recruit. They don't know how to recruit a coach. And they can't get a home crowd to back them. Like, they are the home team 12 times a year, and 12 times a year they may as well be the away team.
Completely fair, Brimson's their best player. Look, speaking of...
He's not as Tina. And it's not even close.
Speaking of good players...
It's Tina.
James Schiller. Going the Hunter.
Ooh.
I think Ricky Stewart's made an error here. Now the thinking was that obviously he might go up and play centre with Dane Gagai turning 34, 35 next year, shift him to the wing. Easy. He played weaponry for Queensland for many, many years, and at NRL level, so Schiller can go up there and be a star centre with Bradman Best, of course. Weaponry centre pairing just quietly. I feel that he left him in New South Wales Cup too long and only gave him a shot when he absolutely had to. I think it's cost him the signature of a very, very good player who, despite what Canberra fans will tell you now that, oh, his defence is no good, blah, 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 I think they've made an error here and let the wrong player go.
Well, here's the thing, right? It's really interesting with Schiller because the minute I heard about this, that he was all but done at Newcastle, I thought, wow, I've got to go onto the Raiders forum and see the blow-up about this, about how Ricky Stewart selected Albert Opawadi, Nick Kotrick, and the ghost of Jordan Rapana. And they genuinely have not cared that he is gone. And they're like, for all the speed and footwork and talent and try-scoring that he has, it's no good if he's scoring one, but his opponent's scoring two. And I thought, perhaps they're just saying this out of bitterness for the last 3 days. Dan, I have gone back to his debut in 2022. I have gone back and read James Schiller threads, and the constant theme from Canberra fans in those threads about him is, wow, he will score one, but he will let in two. They don't seem to think that it's a loss that he is going. I think he's a player that has debuted early and not been given the opportunity to grow into those position, into that position. He debuted as a left center. He's played right center. He's now on the right wing. I think he played a little bit of left wing last year. Anytime he's played Cronulla, he's killed us. I think he's a good player, but again, it's like my feelings towards Will Pennicini. What good is the player scoring a try if his opposition is going to be the man of the match every week? Good player, though. Really good for my super coach. Can't believe you guys in the draft let me pick him up.
He's a freak. Freakish talent. He absolutely tore the New South Wales Cup to shreds to the point where, I mean, he scored only four or five tries the other week, and they were flying. And you see the name Schiller against you. New South Wales Cup, albeit, you think, oh, geez, we're in for a tough old game here. I just feel that his potential is much higher than Hopewadi's. Nick Kotrick, unfortunately, has seen better days, much better days. He was a great player at some stage. And for all Sebastian Chris's abilities, I think he's a second row. He's too slow to play centres, and he gets beaten way too easy for a bloke of that size.
Kind of like Sipatelli, right?
I just feel that Schiller is a player that you can really invest in. And yeah, he's going to make some errors. And he did have a Ronaldo Mulatalo debut. It was a shocker. And I think Ethan Strange had the same. And it's a little funny looking now. You're talking about two blokes that are very, very much flying for the green machine. I just feel like, God, Canberra, the green machine, they're point scorers. They can see 30, but they'll score 40. I think you just fit the jersey really, really well. I think Newcastle got a good one here.
Yeah, I think there's a few players at Canberra in the reserves and the youngers. Like Jed Stewart is a name that keeps popping up. They also signed former Cronulla youngster Manania Botere, who's scoring a lot of tries in the New South Wales Cup for them. So, look, I don't think they're going to be in a bad spot by any means. And I think there's still some handy depth players that are off contract. And this is the part of me that gets scared every week when I see Joey Manu leave, when I see Zach Lomax leave, when I see James Schiller leave, and I still see Kay Oliro off contract. Kind of hurts. Kind of stings.
He'll be in discussions in probably next week, so fingers crossed for the right reasons. But it's a weird one, a strange one. I've left it to last because I want your opinion on it. Michael Maguire, who I think we can pretty much unanimously say has been a good appointment for the Blues, for the simple fact that he's not
Brad Fittler. Well, I mean, you haven't played a game yet, so I don't know.
Let me finish. The simple fact that he's not Brad Fittler puts him in my good books because we all know my thoughts on Brad Fittler. This is a bloke who's excuse my French, he's a hard ass. He won't take anything less than 100%. And we've heard players say, oh, he trains us too hard. Oh, boo-hoo, you're professional footballers. He's come out and said that he's going to run character tests and he wants characters playing for New South Wales and he'd be looking to blow, you know, beyond ability. Now, you're a Queensland fan. You're a state trader in a big way. What are your thoughts when you hear that from a Queensland and a rugby league fan's perspective?
Yeah, look, I think it was very easy for Queensland in the golden run where they won 8 out of 9 series to pick and stick because they had the best players in the world in the spine and you had someone like Cooper Cronk or Daly Cherry Evans or Ben Hunt coming off the bench, right? So, or Michael Morgan. You were spoilt for choice, right? It's like, how did... I remember one time the conversation was, well, how do you fit Michael Maguire and Ben Hunt and Cam Munster and Daly Cherry Evans and Cooper Cronk and John Thurston in the team at the same time? I was like, you will never see that again. Like, you will never ever see... Like, even for New South Wales, it's Nathan Cleary and it's who's going to be with him. You don't have this list of extreme talent. So when all of these, like when Cam Smith retired, when Jonathan Thurston couldn't walk anymore, when Cooper Cronk decided that his nose was too smashed into play and they've had to turn it over, you had Kevy, you had Mal Meninga in there, and now you've got Billy Slater in there, and they've turned around and gone, oh, you have Wayne Bennett who won the unwinnable series as well, and they've said, right, let's go back to the basics and the fundamentals of let's pick on form, but pick the guys who understand the culture, who understand what it takes to play for Queensland, and the guys that you can build around. Let's pick 5 or 6 guys who are going to be in this team every year regardless, and then let's build a dynasty around it. And, you know, like guys like Val Holmes, Hammer, Murray Taulagi, Ruben Cotter. These guys are coming into the team now, and they're just slotting in because they're good players, they're good footballers, they're good people, they're good characters, whatever it is. I think for a long period of time, New South Wales just turned around and said, right, we've got the biggest talent pool. We've got more clubs than anyone. We've got more nurseries than anyone. Let's just pick the best players and hope that it works. And it was the old saying from Jack Gibson, you pick your best 17 and figure it out. New South Wales just never been able to figure it out. One thing I do think that Michael Maguire will be able to do is weed out the guys who only want to play for New South Wales for their 30 grand paycheck. You know, It terrifies me that he is going to reselect Bradman Best, who just looks like he would play for New South Wales for the opportunity to bash someone in a maroon jersey, right? So I think as a Queenslander, it's pretty hard hearing what we did for the better part of a decade. But as a rugby league fan who you know, fair enough, I sledge about State of Origin, but if someone said to me, would you rather win, would you rather Queensland win a game or Cronulla win it? I'd rather Cronulla win a penalty count. It's refreshing. It is, because you don't have to sit there and listen to Brad Fittler talk about walking on wet grass. You're talking about a guy who's going to get in there and slog the guts out of you and pick the best players. And like, these guys are going to fight for it. They will fight for it. So I think it's good. I think it's a good appointment. I bagged it. I think it's a good appointment.
I think Maguire's saying all the right things. Now, some people have taken his character test as, oh, what would you do if there was an old lady walking across the street and a house on fire and a cat was in the tree? What are you going to do? It's nothing like that. What he's going to say is he's going to come in, he's going to say, all right, player A and player B, what does the jersey mean to you? What would you do that player B wouldn't? What, you know, tell me about growing up as a New South Welshman. Do you hate Queensland? It's going to be those sorts of questions. I saw someone come out and say earlier that Mitch Barnett is playing amazing football and could very much end up in a Blues jersey. And they're saying, well, he'll fail the character test. Okay, he's done some things in the past that, you know, he's probably not particularly proud of. He's probably learned and grown for, hopefully. But this is a bloke who has gone to New Zealand, has turned his career around, and I get the feeling would likely die for the Blues jersey. He's the sort of player you want in the squad. Zach Lomax is going to walk into the wing spot if Maguire's legit. He's the best.
Just going back to Mitch Barnett, let me ask you a question. If you've got the selection, you've got one jersey left for your bench, and you've got to pick one of the two Saifidi twins who are going to lumber up, or Mitch Barnett, who are you picking? I'm picking Barnett. I'm probably picking him to start.
Full disclosure, I'm picking him over Cam McInnes, who I don't know why he's in the Origin talk. And I'm a huge Cam McInnes fan. Obviously, I think he's got a card up here signed by him somewhere, but it's just, it's Origin. This, like, you got Zach Lomax, who, let's be frank, let's be harsh here, has whinged his way out because he got told he couldn't play in the centres. He's best winger in the game right now, or top three winger in the game, form-wise.
Yeah.
And a bloke who has obviously told St. George, I want out, yet has been their best player 3 or 4 weeks in a row. This is a bloke you want playing for New South Wales. Now, what I want to see is players that have tried and failed numerous times. Liam Martin in his 40 metres a game. Isaiah Yeo hasn't translated to Origin football, despite probably being the best lock forward in the game. I want to see these changes. I want to see Olakau'atu in, obviously, because he's wrecking ball. And if he doesn't get picked, I'll be calling for his head right away. I want to see Cam Murray play at lock instead of be picked in the second row. I want to see smart decisions. I want to see blokes come in. And I'm sick of hearing New South Wales don't get Origin, but we don't get Origin. For the past few years, we've had Brad Fittler, who is a damn good player and a lovely guy. I've met him numerous times. I have nothing but good things to say about him. Couldn't coach. Couldn't pick a right team. Pick players because he's quirky. You know, Tevita Pangai Jr. Well, that'll get him talking. Yeah, D, because he's so terrible. I want a coach who's focused on winning football games. I don't care if he picks the scumbag 17. If they go out and beat Queensland 40-0, hurrah, hurrah. Building a culture, though, because it's obviously he's not here for a quick hit and win, grab a series and piss off back to Bali or whatever. He's trying to build a culture, and I really, really like what I'm hearing. And I don't think we're going to hear the complaints that came out of the clubs he's left, is that, oh, he's training them too hard, or, oh, God, he's harsh and he yells at me. This is Origin football. He's the perfect coach. I love what I'm hearing.
I think that there is a spot for Cam McInnes and Mitch Barnett in the New South Wales team if he is picking people who are going to run through a brick wall for him. I've been sitting there thinking, like, and I've been dwelling on this for a very, very long period now. I was like, oh, I know we got Adam Fanua, like, I'd love to take Mitch Barnett with him. And I've been looking at it going, oh, yeah, surely they're not going to look across the ditch to pick him. And now it's starting to get the momentum that he's going to get picked. But what this is, the you're absolutely right about him and what he should be doing. Api Koroisau is going to be the Blues number 9. Right, and it's no doubt about it, but we've seen time and time again from Api Koroisau in the Origin Arena is that he cannot play 80 minutes in the Origin Arena. He needs a spell. You've got Wade Egan, who I think is the form Blues number 9 behind him. You've got Reece Robson, who was there last year, and you've got Blake Braley making a charge. He's going to interview all three of these guys, and do you know what he should turn around and do after that? Triple threat match.
Get in. Bash each other. Who wants the jersey? But yeah, put the jersey on it. Hang it. Get it on the ladder. Get him up.
On a ladder. Tables, ladders, and chairs at WrestleMania for the Blues and Manly jersey.
I'm loving what I'm hearing for the first time in 3 or 4 years from the Blues. Because you'd hold your breath. Because you'd hear, oh, Pango Jr. might get picked. And you'd be like, what, for New South Wales Cup? And then he'd get pulled out and he goes on without a plan. Or he's picking Clint Gustin because he's a good dude and can play lots of position. And then coming out and saying, I don't really have a plan. We'll just see what happens. Or he picks Nico Hines and throws him to the Wolves with 8 minutes to go cold without a warm-up. I'm loving what I'm hearing from Michael Maguire. Please save Origin football, Michael, because right now it sucks to be a Blue.
Hey everyone, thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Knock On Podcast brought to you by the good people at Zero Tackle. It's the best in the business, ZeroTackle.com. You get all your information, all your player movements, your player transfers, up-to-date contracts when they get them on there. They have some of the best independent riders on the planet. Scotty and the boys work so hard behind the scene to carry someone like Dan. Speaking of Dan, what have we got coming up this week, mate? Because I'm clicking on the 20 thoughts every week. But what have you got
tomorrow
for us?
I finally delivered after promising for 2 weeks. The Shane Flanagan feature has been sent. I took a bit of a different tack than what I originally said. And without giving too much away, because please read it. I actually worked really, really hard on this and I'm quite proud. Said that the Flanagan rebuild at the Red V reminds me a lot of what happened at Cronulla in the early days. And I'll explain more, obviously, in writing, and we'll probably discuss it at some point next week. But I like what I see, and as a Sharks fan, I don't like it. But as a rugby league fan, I'm good to see the Dragons on the charge, albeit in early days. And look, early next week, we pushed it back. We've held back as long as we can. Origin Watch is back. And I'm going to ask you a question on Outlaws, and I'm going to use that clip to back what I'm going to say. So get your thinking cap on. It's about the number one spot for the Maroons. Now, I don't want to hear about it now. I want it next week. But I'm going to discuss at length who should play and why. And also the Blues number one, the incumbent, James Tedesco. Does he survive the charge, or is it time to move on? It's going to be a fun week, and boy, am I going to not make some friends.
And that's what you're all about, Dan. You got me, I got you. That's all we need in this world right now. Please log on to Zero Tackle. Support the guys. Support the independents where you can. You're going to get the same news just without BS. Paywalls for it. Get in there. Get around us. We'll be back next week, Dan.
See you then.
See you then.